This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Back to Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back, Jay Foreman, Austin, Old School crew. College football talk, second hour here, or NFL talk, some trades going on. You know, obviously, you know, the one thing about the Jets, even though Devontae comes, it's going to be interesting to see the relationship that Aaron Rodgers has with the other receivers. Just for the simple fact of him, you know, obviously Devontae and him have a long relationship and they've built a, you know, understanding of each other. But then also you have an up and coming which they thought was the number one receiver in Garrett Wilson. You got Alan Lazard that knows how to play, who knows how to play with Aaron Rodgers. And then you got Mike Williams, who was what was thought of as a big free agency get. And, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers knew that Devontae was in the works, and probably so. But the fact that he, you know, threw him underneath the bus was a little Bush League.
Is that just who Aaron Rodgers is, or was it Bush League?
It's both.
Okay.
But that's just who Aaron Rodgers is. Like, yeah, you thought and all that. But Aaron, see, this is the thing about Aaron Rodgers, what people don't understand. Over the last 5, 6, 7 years, he has choked under pressure. If you go back all the way to when San Francisco went in there and beat him, then the Giants, I think, and then the multiple times that they lost at home, what he does under pressure, and I think it's maybe the last game that him and Devontae played together, he throws it deep when the guy running underneath is open.
Well, same thing just last night.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing. And, yes, Mike Williams could have came and got it. But you're throwing a no-look pass under pressure to a red line. Now,
What is a red line? Explain for those who might not know.
So, essentially, it's a place, and it's always marked on practice fields. It's a cover two beater. So, have you ever seen, see him get in my – well, this is what hurt us against cover two. Is you see a lot of times that you'll see – depending on the corner, and I'm just talking about a particular cover too, is, you know, they'll jam the guy to the outside, but if he can keep and get thin on the sidelines and he works it right in, it's in between the safety and the corner. And it generally will be between the sideline and...
In the hash. Gotcha. Okay.
Or the number in the hash, whatever. What does it go? Hash number?
Yeah, hash number.
Yeah, it's in between the hash and the number, okay. Generally. So, you know, as you saw, you know, Mike Williams, he came, he slipped. You know, it happens. And so, you know, you wouldn't think that Aaron Rodgers would throw him underneath the bus like that, but I'm not surprised.
If he would do it less often, would it come across as motivational? You know, like, hey,
that's something that you take care of in-house.
In-house, gotcha.
Yeah, that's a meetings. That's in meetings. That's everything you need to do to gain the trust. And look, this is a guy that they spend a lot of money on that's going to be there for a while. And if I'm Mike Williams, now Mike Williams got to find a way to be healthy. And that's on the GM and them for
getting a dude who's always hurt.
Yeah. And it always hurt. That's the big knock on him. He's very productive, but when he gets hurt, he gets injured. So maybe Aaron Rodgers knew it because Devontae was on his way, but that's probably not the best. It's more of a snapshot into who he's become. And, you know, he's a great player, Hall of Fame player. I have no problem saying it, and I'm very understanding the difference between Jay Foreman and Aaron Rodgers. But I've played with some pretty dang
good
players.
One has an Ivy League degree, one doesn't.
Well, you know, Cal's pretty up there, and he's actually very intelligent. And I think he's a better guy than he comes off as. I think that I think he spends too much time on controlling the narrative and trying to manipulate the media, and you're never going to win.
Is that maybe what's keeping him out of inner circle Hall of Famer? Because, like, physical talent, what he's been able to do throwing the football, numbers, some of the moments he's had. I mean, the Hail Mary stuff is like a, you know, check in his, his
box. I think he'll get in. I just think, first of all, I think he's an odd duck anyways. But I think besides that, I think he's a very likable guy. I think he's actually, from what people I've talked to, he's actually a decent teammate. I don't know if there's underlying things that Mike Williams maybe have been working hard or doing what they need to, and that's something that, you know, when you just kind of do it, man, you're just like, hey, I don't care anyways because the dude hadn't put it in. But I just think that was not the best way to do it. Doesn't matter if Devontae's coming or not. Look, the coach just got fired, mainly because of your side of the ball.
Yeah.
And they just seem like they don't have any continuity, especially in the passing game. You had Breece Hall go for 120 or something like that. The offensive line, again, that's on the people, the powers that be. You signed Tyron Smith, who's aging and barely, you know, he's a matter of time before he gets hurt. They haven't really protected Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't move as well as he used to, and you're not supposed to. And he hasn't played well. So the pressure's mounting, but I also think he spends a lot of time worries about a lot of other things he doesn't need to, because he's a very, very good player. Mm-hmm. If he just focuses on that, and you know, he should have been around more in the offseason. This is the place that you wanted to go. I don't care if you took 3 days in darkness or not. This is where you decided when you wanted to go. It took you forever. That's your own damn fault.
Right.
Okay. Now you're here.
So be here.
Be here. And 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I think is holding him back. And then you got the total opposite situation up there in Pittsburgh, which who they're playing, right? Where you got Justin Fields, who came in there. It was weird because remember he requested a trade to go there, and it was after Russell turned down some other spots, and it was assumed that he was essentially given or promised or was told they were highly in favor of him starting. He's been hurt, and I've had a calf injury like that. It's very tricky. They're dangerous because we've seen
calves and hammies, man.
Calves are the worst.
Really?
Because I don't think there's much. Here's what I think. I think hamstrings, I think they have a pretty good idea on how to get them back, whether it's a, you know, low-grade strain or high-grade strain. I do. Okay. In different parts of the hamstring, because you kind of can project. I think they have that down, as long as the rehab is done right and things go well. I think the calves are just tricky, man.
So much with the Achilles and below.
We've seen it, right? You push it, and then you're late in your career, and then you're thinking, you know, how many guys have we seen it? And so now you got Justin Fields, who's playing well. Pittsburgh's not running the ball like you'd like to think to really, really accentuate Justin Fields. They need a guy like Amari Cooper and Devontae. They don't have it. They got Pickens, and with Pickens is immensely talented. Here's the thing about Pickens. This is the funny thing about it. And I heard this about some other players that, you know, I was talking to my friends about. You got first round talent, free agent mindset.
And the wrong kind of free agent
mindset. Chasing
the bag and free agency mindset, not got to grind my way back.
Right. And just a knucklehead.
Yeah.
He's the type of free agent, if he wasn't as immensely talented, that you wouldn't touch because the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Mm. And, you know, Pittsburgh has made a living on mid to late round picks, outperforming their draft status, developing, being Pittsburgh Steelers type of receivers, all the way back to Hines Ward, Antoine Randall L, Antonio Brown, and a host of others, and kind of struck out when they went Claypool and Pickens so far.
When did they get Santonio Holmes?
Santonio, was he first round?
Oh, he was first. So first I guess round. He's the exception.
He's the exception, right. I wouldn't say he got ran out of town, but then remember, he went to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Marino. If elected, Marino can make the radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Marino and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So that's the exception, but everybody else from Claypool to Pickens and some other guys, I guess Deontay Johnson, yeah, right?
But he's gone now.
So yeah. I would have probably rather had Deontay Johnson than Pickens. I think part of the reason why Deontay Johnson left was because of Pickens. Pickens was kind of acting right, and he kind of came on last year. Well, now you've seen him now. It's, you know, Pickens, like the, you know, in Indy when he wasn't playing hard and all, like,
I appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure everybody did. Those are habits that you can't break. You know, that it's just in you.
So then if you're Pittsburgh and Carolina's where Carolina's at right now, is it worth trying to trade to get Deontay Johnson back?
No, yeah, there's plenty of guys out there that could, that you can go. I would look for some other guys. I'd look at DeAndre Hopkins maybe, because he's a really, really good 50-50 ball. Mm-hmm. So with Justin Fields and on the run and him being able to kind of, I'll call it second wave route run, which he's running his original route. He's on the move. He's excellent like that. That's the first guy I would probably look at for Justin Fields. I think he's a tough guy as far as DeAndre Hopkins, tough, physical, and fits Pittsburgh. I think it'd be a great situation for him. And I still think he has a year or two, like a real good high quality production, to be that kind of outlet for Justin Fields and or Russell Wilson, whoever they choose to play. Now, of course, Deontay Johnson will be back. It'll be an easier transition because he'd be coming back. But I'm talking about a guy that can really be impactful, especially down in the end zone, the red zone. I think he would be really good. You could get like a Christian Kirk from Jacksonville, who signed that huge contract from Arizona to Jacksonville. Hasn't really panned out. They've paid their outside receivers, and they got a lot of money invested in Ingram. So now you can get like a one-year rental. Get two of those guys, then you're next thing you know, you're really, really being explosive. And then you got to find a way to get back to playing Pittsburgh type of football to being explosive. So whether it's Najee Harris or what's number 30's name? They had the fire and ice. You got to get those guys going.
Oh, Warren.
Warren. Yeah, you got to get those guys going. Last year they were playing at a pretty good clip. This year they kind of been stymied. And I think they got a good tight end group. I like Freiermuth. I like the big Washington. They got to just find a way to get this offense consistent because that defense is for real.
Yeah, and it has been for a while.
They packed that defense. And so if you could get some sort of efficient, consistent offense, and it can be done, man, because I was watching highlights of when Cam Newton was at Carolina. They had Ted Ginn, Cotry, obviously Greg Olsen is a Hall of Famer. Dixon, the backup tight end. And then obviously they had two really good running backs or three running backs along with Cam. But you don't need like true number one receivers. You need guys that are number one receivers in your system or in your offense.
Kansas City.
You play the position to the maximum there. That's how you don't have to totally invest in, you know, these number one. Of course, you like the number one guys, but you can get a package of guys to be number one if they all play their role correctly. So if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm trying to take on that model, but I got to build it around our run game.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like Cam Newton. You got Justin Fields who can throw. He's got a strong arm, big, fast, a matchup problem out there on the edges. And if you can get that conventional run game going, along with the screen game, along with the middle of the field with both tight ends, and then if you make a trade and you got that defense, and you see Cleveland's got some chinks in the armor. Cincinnati is, right, struggling. Now it's just you and the Ravens. And you always like your matchup like there because that's a rivalry.
It's a rivalry, and you're probably still your greatest strength, T.J. Watt, against that offensive line.
Against that offensive line.
You know they're going to run Henry at you, but you trust that defense.
But I like the defense. But I can get you motivated to stop the run.
Oh, yeah.
Because then that's just man on man. Mm-hmm. And I like Pittsburgh's defensive line. I think that's a challenge that they would be able to rise to. And they got Patrick Queen. So, you know, I think it would be if they could Pittsburgh, I would look for Pittsburgh to do something like that. And there's plenty of guys out there. There's, you know, linemen out there. I think the big tackle that got drafted from Florida that's at Jacksonville. He's probably a guy that's a prime. He's a right tackle. He could be a guy that goes to somebody. He probably had to go like somewhere like the Raiders. If I'm, you know, speaking of the Raiders, if I'm the Raiders, right now, If I'm Max Crosby, I'm going and I'm gone.
Yeah.
But, dude, we're 2-3 years away from being even substantial.
Mm-hmm.
You got your only receiver gone. You let your the number one running back go. So that's your whole offense line. And then you don't have, this is the best you got. So now you can't score points. So now if you can't score points, it doesn't matter really who you have on defense. You got right. One guy right there that's huge and tradable. You've done this before now.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen you do this before. You got rid of Amari Cooper and you got rid of Khalil Mack. You've done it before. You might as well do it again. Accumulate draft picks. You got to get actually some football guys. And big shout out to Tom Brady and Richard Seymour becoming minority owners. Now, I know how hard it is to go through that process. I don't know personally, but I've talked to some other people because when we were in Houston, Bruce Matthews, I think, was one, and there was another player, Ray Childress, that was a minority owner, and I remember seeing him around. They would talk about, man, it took 2-3 years. Felt like you couldn't get out of the house. So big shout-out to them. So they're bringing us a championship type of mindset there. So when you get new ownership, which also is just not giving them checks but giving you advice, the best thing is to start completely over. Now, you could build around Max Crosby, sure, but that's your best asset.
That's just the danger because I think – quick Royals example here – probably should have traded Salvador Perez a while ago. Didn't. Held on to him because fans liked him, because he was still good. If you know you're going to be good in 2 years, sure, keep him around because that's a guy that will know the culture that will set the tone for that locker room. If you're not sure, or if you even keep him just into next year and you're not on the right track, he's got to be gone.
Right. And
for his sake, but mostly for yours.
Yeah, and he's the most tradable right now. Because, you know, let's be honest, Antonio Pierce is on thin ice, right? Even though he just signed a new contract. If he's not on the hot seat right now, he'd be hot, on the hot seat all next year. You don't have a quarterback, dude. You got new ownership coming in. You don't got a quarterback, and they're going to probably want a new face of the organization.
Yeah.
It's you don't, and whoever decided on Gardner, nothing against Gardner Minshew or trying to give O'Connell, but you knew you needed a receiver. They were better off trying to make a late trade for Michael Penix, trading somebody for Michael Penix or future consideration for Michael Penix. I can't guarantee you, I'd be willing to bet that Davante Adams is still on your roster because he sees some hope.
Mm-hmm. Might not be playing through the hamstring issue, but he's at least on the roster.
Right. He's like this guy because Michael Penix is got, you can kind of ride with him. But then also you should have been trying to sign a veteran. And there's multiple veterans that they could have signed. Nothing against Gardner Minshew. Joe Flacco was out there, but it all started with not bringing back Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
So the domino effect of things.
Well, and you let him go to a good organization that was ready for him.
For
right?
pretty much less money because there's no state taxes in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, decisions were made. It hasn't been working out for some teams, and we'll see how it goes. It's Indiana week. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll talk about some other college football news and what I look forward to Indiana doing or trying to do against the Huskers and how we really match up. I've watched 3 games of these dudes, probably total of 7 times. So 1 game 3 and another 2. I got a pretty good beat on them. Sets up well for the Huskers. But Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, quick break, and we'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.